Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Right. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray Heinisch, and joined here with Blythe Ahlberg. Hey, Blythe.
Hey, Dr. Ray. How you doing?
I'm awesome. You ready for the next episode of Cut the Fat Podcast?
I am absolutely ready. This is an awesome podcast about 15 things that ultra-fit people do that's different than maybe, you know, just the average person walking around. So things that you can apply starting today.
Right. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think in terms of, okay, so which of these 15 things am I doing right now? And then which of the 15 things am I not doing? And which one can I add to my list right now? So, you know, if you go through this list and you say, okay, I'm doing only six of the 15, what we don't want you to do is we don't want you to try to apply all 15 all at once.
That's
just
right.
Pick one or two to add to, into your lifestyle and see if you can't slowly build to become that ultra fit person.
That's right. Doing just one more of these will lead you closer to your goal.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put these on the website, on cutthefatpodcast.com. If you find the podcast episode for today's episode, I'll put this, infographic, if you will, with the 15 points on there so that you can download it and keep it and refer back to it, okay?
Ah, perfect. That sounds great.
All right, so let's go ahead and just jump right in on today's episode. So let's start with number one. This is actually one of my favorite points on the list, and that is that ultra-fit people eat 2 to 3 pounds of food.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much, doesn't it? But I think that's true. There's so much truth to that. Believe it or not, I myself eat a lot of food. People might look at my size and think otherwise, but it is true. Eating more food as opposed to always cutting down your calorie intake might be where the secret lies for you.
Right. And the science is pretty clear on this. And that is in order to really keep the metabolism stoked, in order to keep the appetite under control, we need to consume about 2 to 3 pounds of food per day. And if we're not doing that, if we're really, you know, eating very small quantities of food and it's not kind of meeting that requirement, then people will have a tendency to walk around with a lot of hunger. And ultra fit people, even though they look and feel fit, they're not walking around hungry. They're actually eating a lot of food. And that's kind of the key point here.
Right. And that also gives you more energy. You know, the more calories you get to eat, the more energy you have just walking around.
Right. Now, that 2 to 3 pounds of food may have 1,500 calories on one side, or another person could eat the same, you know, 2 to 3 pounds of food. And that and the calorie count on that list of food may be 3,000 or 4,000 calories. So what determines the amount of food that you can consume is really the quality of the food. So ultra fit people, they don't just eat 2 to 3 pounds of any food. They eat 2 to 3 pounds of real quality, natural foods.
Right. We're talking vegetables, lean meats, you know, making sure you get in your healthy fats like avocados and nuts, things like that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So that's point number one. They eat 2 to 3 pounds of food and they don't try to starve their fat away.
Okay, good.
On to step number two. What's point number two?
Number two, they sleep. So trying to establish a bedtime routine is really important for some people. Always shorting yourself on sleep and going night after night with 3 to 4 hours sleep, you know, is not going to support your weight loss efforts. So making sure you schedule in sleep, just like you schedule in work, is very important.
Right. And the research suggests that we need about 7.5 hours of sleep. Now, this is just kind of an average for the general population. 7.5 hours seems to be the point where you get the majority of the benefit of the sleep and you're not doing harm to your metabolism. So for some people, it may be 6 hours. For other people, it may be 8 or 9 hours. Really, the point here is that you have to get good quality sleep and sufficient sleep where you're not waking up feeling groggy, dragging yourself out of bed in the morning.
Right.
And I'll also point out that a lot of ultra fit folks, now we are talking about the ultra fit folks out there. We're not necessarily talking about just the average Joe. Ultra fit folks have a tendency to be in bed by 11 p.m. Oftentimes they go to bed even earlier than that.
Yeah. And you know, I think part of the reason for that is, you know, you get on such a routine and you're tired by that time of day because you've really spent yourself through the duration of the day. And we're going to talk about, you know, exercise and whatnot coming up in some of the points that we're about to address. But that is part of it, is wearing yourself out during your waking hours.
Right. And, you know, there's also an advantage to getting to sleep by 11 p.m. And that is the science has shown that that seems to help improve the production of growth hormone, which then helps these people to recover from exercise and activity and to build muscle mass and to burn fat. So point number two is very important. They sleep. They sleep for about 7.5 hours, and they try to get to bed by 11 p.m., and oftentimes they're getting to bed earlier than that even.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, that resting period, that time that we're sleeping, is when our body repairs. That is when, you know, if you work out and you've got sore muscles, your body's repairing itself during that time. So you've got to allow yourself the time to do that. Otherwise, you know, like you said, you wake up feeling tired and groggy and unrepaired. Right. Your batteries haven't fully recharged.
So we don't want to view, you know, sometimes in the fitness world, we have a tendency to review rest as opposite to exercise, activity, and progress. But in the reality, it's a synergist to that. You need the rest in order to recover. And so we don't want to just try to push, which is what we have a tendency to do in our society, and expect phenomenal results. You need to rest, you need to sleep, and that's why ultra-fit people do just that.
I'm really glad you said that, because that is a great – that's a golden nugget.
Right. And sometimes people, you know, when they're pushing, they're not getting results, they have a tendency to want to push more. And we sometimes have to remind people that you have to take a step back, give your body some time to recover.
That's right.
Okay. On to number three.
Number three, they live by routine. And this is going to kind of round up a lot of the points that we have. But, you know, you aren't what you do sometimes. You're what you do repeatedly. So building a healthy routine, you know, scheduling in your sleep, you know, basically doing things consistently. Consistency is key, is something I am always telling people, because it's your efforts repeated that's going to give you the results.
Right. Now, as we go through these points, a lot of ultra fit folks have a lot of these kind of lifestyles built into the ritual of their life, right? Mm-hmm. So they, you know, when we get to number six and we talk about how ultra fit folks prep their food, you know, or prep their lifestyle, they have a tendency to do it at the same time, same day, every week. You know, it's right. Kind of built into a ritual. And a lot of these things, their exercise routines, how they go about drinking water and all these other factors, they're all built into routines into their lifestyle, which is what makes it a lot easier to manage, right?
Right. And once you've established that routine and you do it consistently, it actually becomes much more simple, you know, much easier. There's not so much effort applied toward it.
Right. And then number four is they don't feel guilty. They don't feel guilty. So
ding, ding, ding. This is a big golden nugget. Everybody listen up.
You can't try to guilt yourself into a fit body. And I really try to push this home with a lot of our clients and patients here, is you cannot guilt yourself into eating right and exercising on a regular basis. Ultra fit folks focus on healthy actions. They don't focus on guilt. So very important. You know, I don't hear you, for example, Blythe, and I would put you up in that list of ultra fit folks. And I don't ever hear you berating yourself, you know, or you know, talking poorly about yourself. And I think that's so important that people get that, because we oftentimes in our society think that that's the way to the promised land, is by really guilting ourselves and berating ourselves into doing the right thing. And it doesn't work.
You're right. And I think it's a learned it's a learned process. And, you know, when, as we get older, you and I are the same age, as you get older, you start to learn that there are certain things that you can't control. And now, I'm not talking about not controlling our lives, but, you know, you can't control what other people do, what other people say, how other people feel. So what you can control is what you do and how you feel about it. And that applies to eating properly and exercising. Do it because you want to. Don't feel bad if you miss a day. Feel great because you made 3 days. Right. You know, so really looking at the positive side of all of that is what is going to kind of shift your perspective.
Absolutely. Great points. All right. On to number five, which is?
They act as they learn. Always be learning about health, but prioritize with action. So if you wake up tomorrow morning and you say, you know what, I know that I need to be more hydrated. I know that I need to drink more water. I'm going to start that today. Don't read about it. Don't plan it. Just do it.
Let's contrast the ultra fit folks versus somebody who's kind of in this perpetual cycle of trying to lose weight.
Okay.
That person who's in that perpetual cycle of trying to lose weight oftentimes is in this perpetual cycle of learning, right? They're getting diet book after diet book and fitness yes. magazine after fitness magazine, but they're not doing any of it, or they're only, you know, doing small chunks of that.
Right.
Ultra fit folks jump right in. Like, they learn something new. They learn a new exercise, and that new exercise gets incorporated into their program, at least as a, on a trial period, until they Absolutely. Can figure out if it fits their lifestyle or fits their exercise routine.
That's right. So like Nike says, just do it.
Just do it, right. All right, number six.
Number six, they prep. And food preparation is absolutely key. And even if it's not just the food you're preparing, and we're talking about prepping as far as exercise goes, go in with a plan. So prep your exercise routine. Maybe write down or save something on your phone that you want to try. Or if it's food prep, make sure that you've got the foods that you need available in your kitchen and schedule the time to do it. You know, we're all really good at scheduling being to work on time. That's something most of us really know how to do, and we've perfected that over the years. Food prep falls right into the same category. You know, just getting the food you need and preparing it.
So that it's handy, so that it's ready when you
so
need it.
So it's readily available. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, we see this with ultra fit folks. They're always walking around with a cooler worth of filled with healthy food, or at least a lunchbox or a lunch bag full of healthy food. And mm-hmm. and they always have it handy. You know, they might have a little bag of nuts in their gym bag or their briefcase or their pocket.
Yeah.
And you know, I know that you're huge about food prep. It doesn't have to be you sitting and prepping for 5 days of food. But if you prep for 2 or 3 days, that's definitely better than having no food prepped at all. So it doesn't take much. It just takes some forward prep, right?
That's exactly right. And it doesn't have to be difficult. And that's something I want to really drive home. For instance, I missed my food prep on Sunday because this past weekend we were traveling during that time. So my regular, you know, routine was kind of thrown off, but that didn't thwart my efforts. yesterday afternoon, I opened up a big pack of chicken breast and I dumped a couple of cans of salsa all in the crock pot. It cooked all day long, and we've got dinners/lunch for the next, you know, 2 or 3 days for the entire family.
Right.
So it's not something that has to be difficult. It can take 5 or 10 minutes. You know, I'm all about simple food prep, and I've done some recipe books exactly for that reason, because I'm not somebody who likes to spend hours and hours in the kitchen. It can be as simple as hard boiling a dozen eggs and, you know, throwing some turkey and chili ingredients into the crock pot. You know, it doesn't have to take a lot of time, but it's doing it that usually holds people back.
Absolutely.
It's the action.
Awesome. All right. So number seven, this is one that I've gotten a lot more into in recent months. And that is number seven, they either meditate or they do some sort of yoga. This is a pretty interesting one. You know, and I can't say that every ultra fit person does this, but I say a big chunk of them do. And, you know, you always hear about ultra fit folks, how they're going to yoga class or they're walking around with a yoga mat on their back. Mm-hmm. But it's such an important factor in our lifestyle today, because our lives and our minds are so busy that it puts mm-hmm. a major strain on our systems. it puts a major strain on our brain and our adrenal glands, and that has a negative impact on our willpower, our self-discipline, and our ability to stick to a lot of these things that ultra-fit folks do. So you've got to make that space in your brain. You've got to give yourself a break from thinking from time to time and do some sort of meditation or yoga. The science is absolutely there. The science is there, and it proves that the brain benefits dramatically, and the person for whom that brain belongs to benefits significantly when you incorporate meditation and yoga into the program.
I completely agree, and I've done this on myself. And while I will admit I don't regularly stick to it, the times that I am fully engulfed in doing yoga classes, I'm not one big on meditation yet. That's something I'll be working on. Okay. But yoga is something that, you know, I can kind of put myself under the care of somebody else, and they can walk me through a yoga class. And I always feel better. It's amazing. I'm not exactly sure why I don't adhere to it, you know, 3 times a week on a religious basis, but you have just reminded me that that's something I must do. And, you know, we did a podcast a couple of podcasts ago about how stress contributes to fat gain, and doing something as simple as yoga can help with those stress levels.
Hugely so. Meditation as well. And there are just so many great apps and subscription services that kind of teach you the process of meditation. The one I use is called Headspace. I bought the lifetime membership. I think it was like $300 for the lifetime membership for Headspace. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of mindfulness meditation apps on the App Store and that you can download for your phone and use that way. And that's a lot less expensive and has some really great trainings on how to incorporate mindfulness meditation. It's a very simple process, very powerful. Definitely give it a try. Even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, it can make a significant difference to your life.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tie a ribbon on my finger and remember that that's something I'm going to do. And I'm going to report back to everybody.
All right. Great. Please do. All right. Go on. Number 8. What's number 8?
Number 8. They walk a lot.
They walk a lot. That's right.
So, you know, I run weight loss challenges on occasion online, and it's kind of just a lot of fun. It's a community, and there's a cash prize, and people get a lot out of that community. Well, something that I usually incorporate is having a mileage challenge, meaning, you know, you can walk, you can jog, you can do whatever, but you're trying to put in mileage. And I will tell you, by the end of that week of the mileage challenge, people are feeling super fit. So there is nothing bad I can say about walking, and walking outside of your regular exercise routine. So taking the dog around one extra block, or walking to work instead of driving, walking around the entire mall if you just go in, you know, for one item. Making the effort to walk extra makes the headspace, it makes your heart feel great, it makes your body feel great. You know, I can't say enough about walking, and it's so simple.
Right. And it can be your meditation as well, just out Absolutely. Moving, just walking. And again, as you mentioned, it's above and beyond exercise. Exercise and walking are not the same. They have different stimulus to the body. Exercise typically causes more of an adrenal stimulus, like an adrenaline production, epinephrine. You're stimulating fat release. Walking has a tendency to lower cortisol levels. It helps to just burn the energy underneath the radar. So it's not – the body doesn't necessarily know that it's burning more energy. And that is great because it doesn't have that compensatory reaction. So if you use walking as an activity, it doesn't – the brain doesn't know you're exercising. So you don't get that compensatory reaction where you have a tendency to seek out more food to account for those calories that were lost. So walking in and of itself is separate from exercise, which brings us to point number 9.
They centralize exercise.
Ultra fit people centralize exercise. It's a key point.
Exactly. You schedule it in your day. You know what time you're going to go work out, whether it's at the gym or at home, and you show up like you would for work. It is what it is.
How many times have and I'm speaking to the listeners out there, how many times have you skipped your exercise session for the day and the rest of your lifestyle follows? right? Mm. So you start to say in your brain, well, I didn't exercise today, so I guess I'll just eat a hamburger and fries and you know, I'll get started tomorrow. Like exercise is the linchpin. That's the thing that when you start your day with a fantastic exercise session, you have a tendency to want to eat well for the rest of the day.
That's right.
If you tell yourself you're going to exercise and you skip that exercise, then you have a tendency to let loose. You have a tendency to let the rest of the lifestyle go. Ultra-fit people, they really do centralize exercise. Like they don't feel right if they don't exercise on a particular day, or if they're exercising 5 days a week and it's scheduled. If they miss their exercise session, they don't feel right. And I think that's just such an important point. You know, when we're talking about ultra-fit folks, they always exercise. They always centralize exercise in their program.
Yeah. And I think for people who are still trying to establish a routine, there's a lot of guilt that surrounds missing a workout too, you know, and that goes back to number four, which was they don't feel guilty. You know, if you miss a workout and it's something that you've established and it's a routine that you've got going on in your life, missing a workout isn't the end of the world, but you will still make good choices.
Right. And you don't beat yourself up about
it.
That's right. And ultra-fit folks don't beat themselves up for missing an exercise session. They either make up that session sometime else throughout the rest of the week, or they might bump up their activity more, or they may just chalk it up and move forward without feeling guilty about it. And that's a very important point as well. All these things, as you notice, kind of connect to each other, right?
They do, yes.
The prep connects to the exercise. The exercise connects to the lack of guilt. The exercise connects to how well they sleep. The routine connects to all of these things.
So that's right.
It's all connected. And that's what's fascinating about this kind of web of ultra-fit lifestyle, you know, points. All right, so that's number nine, the centralized exercise. What's number 10?
They supplement. So a multivitamin, a good quality fish oil, whey protein, soy protein, hemp protein, something like that to supplement your diet. You know, it's a kind of a challenge for most people to be able to get in enough protein to supplement your body. And I typically recommend that you know, most people supplement their diet with a little bit of protein every day. You know, like a like an easy to drink protein, probably post workout would be my suggestion for most people.
Which is point number 11. But on point number 10, you know, we're just, you know, when we're looking at ultra-fit folks, you almost always see on their countertop a multivitamin, some omega-3 fatty acids. You'll see a variety of powders and such that they'll use, which we'll talk about in point number 11. But the point is that supplementation is generally important because of the fact that they are putting their bodies through more exercise and activity, which requires, you know, more of a repair process that uses resources. And so that's why they need more protein. That's why, you know, omega-3s and fish oil are so important.
Yes.
And, you know, just keep that in mind. You don't have to build like a supplement regimen of 30 different supplements, but two or three of the foundational things, a bone mineral formula, like a calcium magnesium kind of product, a multivitamin, some omega-3 fatty acids, and then on to point number 11, which is they shake it up. They use a low-sugar protein shake as a meal replacement or a snack at some point throughout the day.
Right. And I typically suggest that people use that right after a workout if you can. Otherwise, you know, if it's not a workout day for you, then, you know, you can add it as a snack time, you know, a small meal replacement.
Right. And then on to number 12, which is one of your faves.
Oh, yes. I will harp on this for the rest of my life probably. Number 12 is they drink water. You will notice that ultra fit people are always seen carrying a water bottle in the car, water bottle on your desk at work, water bottle in the kitchen next to where you cook, you know, water bottles everywhere. And, carrying a huge jug of water, you see people at the gym with a gallon, you know, half drank, always have water with you and you will utilize it. If you are one to forget your water, when you leave the house, you know, get another one. It's never going to hurt you to have them in numerous places.
Right. And it's not by chance that ultra-fit folks are always walking around with water. It's a very important component of their lifestyle. So just make sure that you do that. It's so easy. It's free. It doesn't cost you any money to do it. So just incorporate that. Don't forget it. If you're drinking lots of sodas, try to replace that soda with water if you can. On to 13, they build a food lab. They build a food lab. Stock your kitchen with super healthy foods and tools that make food prep a lot easier. That's another factor is if making the food is difficult because you have poor set of knives, for example, a blender that doesn't work or a food processor that doesn't work or is inconsistent or, old and broken down. These things do make a difference. So try to find things that make your life a lot easier and makes the process of food prep more convenient.
Right. Number 14, they mass food prep. Now, you don't have to make, I just mentioned a few moments ago about throwing a bunch of chicken breast in the crock pot with some salsa, and I've got food for several days. Now, that's not the only thing I'm eating over several days. Some people get tired of, eating the same thing 4 or 5 days in a row. It doesn't have to be that way. You can still, I call it batch cooking or mass food prepping. You can still make a meatloaf. You can still make some salsa chicken. You can do 3 or 4 things and then just mix it up. I know you make a great chili that you keep in the freezer and you can pull it out when you're ready. So you've already got food prepped sitting there waiting in the freezer.
Right. And, when you cook for 2 or 3 days, it just simplifies things for you. So you're sitting there, you're wondering, what should I eat? Are you going to go and hop over to McDonald's or are you going to just reach in the fridge and grab that pre-prepped chili or that chopped up grilled chicken or, maybe some pre-prepped hamburger patties that you made that you can throw on some salad, things like that. So that mass food prep is something you see across the board in people who are ultra fit. And it's a little bit different from point number 6, which is, which was speaking more to preparation in general. Like when we're talking about number 6, we're talking about the fact that roadblocks to health are everywhere. So if you anticipate those roadblocks and plan, that's great. Number 14 is speaking more specifically to the fact that ultra fit folks
having meals
have lots of food prepared. Healthy foods ready to go when they need it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then top in the list, number 15, which is a surprising one for folks, which is top in the 15 surprising things ultra fit people do differently, is they manage their finances. And, I add this to the list because debt is a killer of health and it is one of the biggest stressors that people deal with. I have literally had clients who have gained all the weight that they lost back simply because they went into financial debt, and that financial debt caused so much strain and stress that they didn't have the mental resources needed to do the things that they know they needed to do in order to maintain that level of health. Okay. So, if you're drowning in debt, if you have lots of financial burden, one of the things you don't oftentimes think about this when you're thinking about weight loss per se, but one of the things that you need to do and may in fact be one of the best places for you to start is to build a plan for your finances. So that number one, you have the money you need to be able to buy the healthy food. If you need a gym membership, things like that. But more important than that you don't have that constant strain and drain on your brain, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So if that's a good place for you to start and you know that might be where you lack, that's where I would start. This is all like one big domino and a domino game. It doesn't matter which end you start at, but it's starting somewhere and connecting all the dots.
That's right. And as you kind of go through those lists, and we'll just kind of list them off real quick. Let's go me one, you one, right? Okay, number one, they eat 2 to 3 pounds of food.
Number two, they sleep.
Number three, they live by routine.
Number four, they don't feel guilty.
Number five, they act as they learn.
Good. Number six, they prep.
Number seven, they meditate or do yoga.
Number eight, they walk a lot.
Number nine, they centralize exercise.
Good. Number 10, they supplement.
Number 11, they shake it up. They get some sort of protein shake as a meal replacement or snack.
Mm-hmm. Number 12, they drink water and lots of it.
Number 13, they build a food lab.
Number 14, one of my favorites, they mass food prep.
And number 15, one of my favorites, they manage their finances. They build a financial plan so that they're not stressed out of their mind all the time. All right, so that's it. Those are the 15 surprising things ultra fit people do differently. I hope you learned something new. If you guys get a chance, hop on iTunes, give us a rating, leave us a love note, if you will. And Check us out at cutthefatpodcast.com on Instagram. Just go to at cutthefatpodcast is our Instagram, what do you call that?
Handle.
Okay.
You can also find us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast, and be sure to share with your friends, guys. We are here to spread the word of health and fitness and, you know, try to help connect the dots for everybody here.
Yeah. And thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye, everybody.